I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a weird song for a Monday after a Chiefs loss.
Or any day, quite frankly. Happy Monday after Halloween. That's more fun to talk about than what happened yesterday.
Halloween was great. It was our first Halloween in our house in Overland Park because last week we didn't move until the 4th. Wow, it's going to be a year. We didn't move until the 4th of November. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we were back in Belleville, Illinois last year, and no disrespect to Belleville, but it sucked. It was fine. It was fine. We went around my sister's neighborhood last year, and the houses were too spread out, and a bunch of misers not handing out candy. It's one thing.
That was me this year.
You didn't hand out any candy.
We have almost no kids in our neighborhood.
Okay,
fair. Like 5 or 6 kids, and I'm not, normally I would have done like a little bonfire with the neighbors, but they were on vacation, and there was just no point in me. Turn the light on.
You live in a little bit of a different area than me, too.
Yeah, like you have a lot of kids in your neighborhood.
It was crazy.
Yeah, we don't.
We went out at 6:30 going, is it too early? And then I looked down the street and there was a parade of children.
There were kids out at like 5:30.
I don't know what do you call like a group of children? A bunch of owls is called a parliament.
Well, if they're on the plaza, we call them dangerous.
There was at least 3 dangers of children. Just swarming down my block, and we were like, we couldn't get the candy out fast enough to put in the bucket to put the sign up.
Because there weren't official times. There used to be like official set times for your city. And now it seems like it's kind of a recommended, like, hey, whenever you can get out there, more power to you.
I think there should be set times because I think what's going to happen is increasingly the earlier you make it.
Yeah.
Because people are like, well, I don't want to go out too late because then all the candy's going to be gone.
Right.
So then, so you're going to have a bunch of people going out at 5, 4:30. As soon as the kids get out of school, just let's go. I mean, you're in your costume anyway. Why go home and change? But it was so great. Every house was doing candy, all except for one. But I'm not. Oh, you know who the one exception was? Guess who the one exception was?
In your neighborhood?
In my neighborhood. Sprinkler guy. Jackass. Scumbag.
Shocking. I'm surprised he didn't put out the razor blade candy.
I honestly told Finn, I was like, if we go near that house, we're not going up to
it. Yeah, the candy you have to check for the blue substances and stuff that police warned about this weekend.
The guy, he was, if you missed the show a couple weeks ago, he was the one who put the sprinkler out on his sidewalk so kids couldn't use the sidewalk and were having to walk in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Absolute scumbag. And his lights were on. It's not that. It's like it's just his porch light specifically was not on.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of kids go up to the house, knock on the door, nothing. So good. I'm glad you're sitting in your house. And by the way, this isn't like some 80-year-old man.
Right.
It's the dude's at least my age or younger.
Yeah.
And he's this screwed up on the world already. I mean, it's just sad. But other than that, it was fantastic. But a bunch of people in cul-de-sacs. I like this aspect, like would block off the cul-de-sac and we're having like little bonfires.
I saw a lot of that too.
And had fire pits and they're sitting there drinking and had buckets of candy out for the kids. Finn got so much candy, Jamie, that we were like, how are we going to do this? And Katie and I came up with a plan. We took all of the candy and put 10 pieces in Ziploc bags. So 10 pieces in per bag, there was 16 bags.
Holy cow. What was the best thing he got?
What was he
most excited about?
He got a full-size Twix bar. He got a full-size Butterfinger.
Okay.
He got a full-size Kit Kat.
Okay.
He was excited about all of those.
I'm not excited about the full-size Twix, but the other two.
The other two are
those
awesome.
Those are pretty exciting.
Well, he was excited about them, so yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think I saw 3 kids on my street at one point. Like, I didn't turn my light on. The dog and I hung out and watched movies and stuff, but I think I saw about 3 kids, and that was...
Yeah.
That's fine.
I remember back in Boston, we wouldn't have any kids. There was also people weren't doing in our area, weren't doing trick or treating.
Yeah.
And it's what the reason I'm so happy or was so, it was such a good night was because when I was in Lexington, nobody, like every 4th house maybe was doing it. And it's like, you guys invented this. Like, this is where when people think of Halloween in America, they think of New England.
Yeah.
And there's only every other, like, fourth house or so has their friggin' lights on and is even doing this. And, like, I've told this story before. One time we went up to a house, a woman forgot it was Halloween and gave Finn a bunch of cooked spaghetti.
Yes. Which, of anything you could give a child.
Because she was just happy to be making it at the time.
Yeah, because she was just making dinner. Anyway. Quentin, how did the Forrest Gump running costume go over?
It was a big hit.
Yay!
So thank you, Kansas City. A lot of people, basically everybody got it. And if they were like hesitant, they're like, what? I like showed them the logo on the hat that I eventually had the hot glue on there because the tape that I put on there was not
holding
not
it
very
there.
Sticky.
Yeah, the Bubba Gump shrimp hat. Yeah.
So once I hot glued it down, everybody got it except one person. And I don't think we can be friends anymore.
I don't even really like Forrest Gump that much as a movie. But everybody knows that movie.
Yeah, even if you've never seen it,
it's
you
a little
know the
weird
character.
that anybody wouldn't get that.
I got one suggestion from one of my friends. He says the next time I go to Vegas, they have a bubblegum shrimp restaurant there.
Yeah.
And so that I should go dressed as that, which sounds like a great idea until it gets 120 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And then that beard might catch on fire on my face.
It sounds like you also needed a straw.
Yeah, that was a big flaw. There was a mouth hole on the beard, but it was covered in hair, as it was a very crazy beard.
Yeah,
so I had to pull my beard off every time I tried to take a drink.
Yeah.
Of the witch's brew, which was delicious.
Was it good?
Nice.
It was.
What is witch's brew?
It was sherbet ice cream, the like rainbow ice cream.
Sherbet.
With lime juice and cranberry Sprite and Malibu rum.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so
good. That is really good.
It was scary good. Yeah. I just kept ladling more and more in my red solo cup. I did write Forrest on my red solo cup.
Oh, that helps. That helps. Because that would have fit. Fun. Okay. I didn't do anything Friday night, but I did. I'm a big fan of the bonfire, in case you didn't know. And I did one on Saturday night. And we were talking about like food, like what you should have if you're going to do something like that. I made maybe one of my best dishes ever. Because I was thinking like a couple of my friends are gluten-free. I'm like, what can I make that I can put in a crock pot all night? And I made, it's popular at Olive Garden, but mine was better. Zuppa Toscana.
Okay.
Which is big at Olive Garden. So it's Italian sausage, and potatoes, basically, and spinach. I think they do it with kale. I don't like kale, so I did it with spinach. And then I added cauliflower and carrots and, like, there's some crushed red pepper and bacon. It's a lot of bacon. Maybe one of the best things I've ever made in my life. And it was the first time I'd ever done it. And it was just magical. And then I had, like, crusty bread to go with it. Oh, it was.
That was good.
It was a hit. There was zero left. Which means it's usually a good thing. Sometimes you don't know. Like, people say they like it, but do they actually like
but
it?
But then there's a bunch left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was my big hit. And we burned a ton of firewood, which was nice.
Did you burn the neighbor's house with the snakes?
No, but I did burn the wood from the tree of hers that fell in my yard earlier this year. We burned some of that.
Should have an accident. Just let it spread.
But I did kind of have to warn. The nice thing about doing a bonfire sometimes is that like your friend's husbands will take over the fire. Which I don't mind. I would rather do the fire,
is a very caveman, knuckle hair thing.
I love doing it, but I'm hosting by myself, and so I'm doing a lot of other stuff. So I kind of appreciate it. And I kept warning the guys. I'm like, okay, there's going to be a blue racer snake, maybe the ones that like come at you. Do you know what a blue racer?
Yeah, I know what they are.
They come. The racer part is when they race at you.
They're scary, yeah.
And spiders. Yeah. I said just beware. And they're like, no problem. We are men. We can take the snakes. No problem. So.
Scary about snakes is because they have an unnatural way of moving. Like things aren't supposed to move like
it's
that.
It's not straight.
It's just like off-putting.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And then, so we've delayed talking about the Chiefs game.
All right. So the Chiefs lost last night, 28-21. It was nice having 3 weeks of low stress football, where we blew out the Lions, the Raiders and the Commanders back to back to back. All those were home games, by the way. I'm not blaming the fact that this was an away game. I'm not blaming the loss on the fact that it was a away game, but it probably didn't help. The offensive line sucked. That's the story of the game. You lose three starters on your offensive line, you're not going to get a lot of protection for your quarterback. And then the other team is playing man coverage. So you're waiting for guys to get open. And then you're holding the ball and running for your life most of the game. I know that a lot of people are having the discussion today. In fact, I know that our neighbors that we share a wall with over there, Cody and Gold, are having that conversation right now because I saw it on their Twitter. Mm-hmm. Was this Patrick Mahomes' worst game ever? And I'm just going to say, no.
He's been playing for a while. I mean,
okay, he had a 44% completion percentage. That's the lowest of his career. He had 250 yards. They scored two touchdowns. They got in to the red zone three other times and kicked field goals. No, it wasn't the worst game of his. The worst game of his career was back in 2021. He got a concussion from playing against the Titans. It wasn't a concussion because he passed protocol, but he got knocked out of the game.
Uh-huh.
He got a knee to the face from Justin Simmons, not Josh Simmons, our guy, who hopefully will be back. By the way, Josh Simmons just reactivated his Instagram account.
That's a good sign.
I think he's coming back, guys.
That's a good sign.
I think he'll be back on the team after the bye, just like we were told.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad game, but look, 44% completion percentage. It seemed like the Chiefs were getting destroyed all game. And then you look at the end, you're like, well, 28-21 isn't that bad. And we had the ball at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'd had more time, probably would have tied it. So, whatever. It's a loss to the Bills in the regular season. We do this every year. And then, of course, all of the talking heads this week will be on how, well, I guess the Bills just have the Chiefs' number, except in the playoffs when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it matters, and that's when they don't have our number. One thing I will say, though, it really sucks to lose to a bad coach. And I'm going to say this about Sean McDermott. Seems like a nice guy. Andy Reid protege, all that. He's got a bald head over there. God love him. He's a terrible coach.
Why?
First of all, it's obvious to everybody that the Bills have one game that matters to them all season, and mm-hmm. it is beating the Chiefs. They have one game that they are they have one team that they're designed to beat, and that is the Chiefs. That's why they match up so well against us, and that's why they usually beat us in the regular season. They have some really great tight ends, and they can exploit the fact that our linebackers suck in coverage. Sean McDermott, though, did just the most brain and Quentin. Tell me if I'm right on this. Might be one of the most brain dead coaching decisions I've ever made. The Bills have the ball at their 40 and decide to kick a field goal with what was like 30 seconds left in the game. It misses, so it hits off the upright. And then the Chiefs get the ball, then back at the 40. If you have punted, then mm-hmm. we would have gotten the ball at our own 5 or 10 or whatever with 22 seconds left. And there's no chance that we're coming back. That could have so easily blown up in his face, but instead he's like, nope, I need to be the big guy. I need to look cool, and I need to put this game away by 2 scores so that people all next week will be talking about what a definitive win it was for my team.
Plus, you have the amount of pressure they were getting on Mahomes. It's not like,
yeah,
if you get the ball on the 10-yard line, you got to drive 90 yards to score.
They're not doing it.
Right, and it's not like we needed a field goal to win it. Plus the miss. I mean, he called timeouts.
Yeah, the timeout, it was weird.
I mean, I guess, you know, that's an Andy Reid protege right there.
Yeah.
You know, early in his career, not knowing how to use timeouts.
Yeah.
Who's next?
It's
we have a bye week this week. We're off. And then we got the Broncos, Colts, and Cowboys this month. On Thanksgiving, the Cowboys. Yeah. But that'll be a fun game. It's at 7.
P.M.?
P.M.
On what day of the week?
Thanksgiving.
I mean, at least you have the next day. Most people have the next day off. That's fine. But yeah. I want the Thanksgiving day. Wasn't it the middle of the afternoon last year? It was noon or 3 p.m. last year.
They didn't plan Thanksgiving last year.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
They planned Christmas.
It was Christmas. Okay. And it was the afternoon.
I'm trying to remember which holiday I spent with my family, and it's Christmas. I like it in the middle of the afternoon because God love my family, but it gets me out of 3 hours of small talk.
Mm.
There you go, Jamie. That's...
Right? It gets me.
She gets it.
Get me at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Because then that's 3 hours where I can be really focused on the game.
I don't like it because every year on Thanksgiving, my family has a tradition where we watch planes, trains, and automobiles at night. Like after we eat dinner, after like the new afternoon football games are over, we watch that movie. And so that throws that all off. But anyway, one thing that people were focused on from the game that I think is really funny was this. Tony Romo making weird noises. And I just have to ask, is this the first time people have watched Tony Romo? Because he makes noises like this. Maybe this is worse than usual, but he makes noises constantly.
And then another hold right there. I think it was...
That?
He does that all the time.
That wasn't edited in?
I don't know, Jim. That's like his catchphrase is, I don't know, Jim.
Anytime there's a close call.
Yeah.
He always just like a close penalty or, the you know, he's not sure, like the ball crossed the goal line. He always does that.
Okay. Yeah,
does it constantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do people call that out regularly?
I remember when he did that in the game because Katie was like, what the hell was that? And I was like, yeah, sweetie, he makes those noises all the time.
Also, I mean, at some point, just like before Tom Brady started kind of getting in media, in theory, there was a coach that worked with him a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've never done that job before. Somebody needs to be the person who air checks you, quote unquote, or gives you some coaching on your performance. Nobody pulled him aside at some point and said, buddy.
It's been an interesting journey with Tony Romo because when he first started in the booth with Jim Nance, he was considered like a savant. Mm-hmm. He was a genius and he could call plays. He could tell you exactly what the play was going to be. And he did so well at that he just stopped paying attention mm-hmm. to what was actually happening on the field anymore. And so it's almost like watching the game with your dumbest friend. You're like, wait, what? Is that holding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony, that's holding. See how his shirt came back and the guy like fell over? That's holding. Anyway, also, I see it on the text line. Guys, just don't blame the refs.
I thought the refs were, people were saying the refs were like against the Chiefs or
there was a really bad call on intentional grounding where it was obvious the ball was tipped, so it shouldn't have been grounding, and they just wouldn't give it to us. And it was on third down, so it brought the play back 10 yards. It was a mess. And it screwed us, and it made it hard. But guys, it's also that the Bills were playing in dime the whole game, and we were like, no, we're going to still keep trying to throw deep, mm-hmm. even though we can't hold up on the line. Like, no, just stop it. Yeah. Coming up, you want to talk about a possum. Something that's making you feel good.
Stories out of Waldo. I have stories out of Waldo. There's a little thing that happened over the weekend that made me feel a little better about the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have new critters to deal with. And then, yes, we need to talk about 75th and Warnell.
Yeah,
that's sign there. Off.
This does not make me feel good, but yeah. We'll talk about it next on Midday.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tales Out of Waldo from the weekend, mm-hmm. Which do involve a possum that we'll get to here in a moment. But I just thought, like, for a little happy moment, something that impressed me that I'm noticing happening a lot. I've never had a dog until now with a Claire, right? And I am just impressed at the number of people who have trained their kids to ask before they pet your dog.
Oh, yeah.
We went to Loose Park on Sunday because we both needed out of the house. And so she got McNuggets and then we walked around Loose Park. And the number of people that ask, and I don't have, I usually have a leash on it that says foster me on it, but right now I just have a regular one. Usually that foster me leash will attract some attention, but the number of people that have taught their kids just to ask, may I pet your dog, please? Maybe that's been going on for a long time, but I'm just so impressed. I was just, that made me so happy because we had like 6 different kids while we were out on this walk that wanted, and she looks approachable, right? Like she's not, and she's pretty good with kids. So all the kids want to like pet her and stuff. It just made me happy that so many people asked.
I don't take Gordon out in public that much because he's very shy and doesn't like it, and he doesn't like people. But that's fine. When I tried to socialize him when he was a puppy one time, and he had a cut on his foot. And some kids just came up and said, hey, can we? And it grabbed him and said, can we pet your dog? And I was like, probably not. And then they had blood all over them.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do notice when I go up to pick Finn up from school, people have their dogs there, mm-hmm. and kids will ask, is it okay if I pet your dog? And
yeah.
Yeah. So it's the most polite little,
like,
I wonder if it's being taught in school, like if it's a thing that they're being taught to do, which,
yeah,
because I can't imagine parents are that consistent.
And again, maybe this has always been this way, but I take a Claire out quite a bit. We walk a lot. We're out in the neighborhood a lot, but, and we've been doing Loose Park more just for a different setting. And it just made me so happy that so many people asked, because she's very good. Like if you pet her, she's very calm. And unless there's a squirrel nearby, in which case she goes squirrel. But otherwise, she's very good with whatever kids and stuff will come up and pet her. I don't know. It just, I was just like, wow, I need, in a world full of a lot of gloom and doom,
yeah.
that was a nice little moment.
It's nice.
Speaking of gloom and doom, uh-huh. thank you to my neighbors who usually listen, who got back from a trip very late Friday night and still responded to my text message on Saturday morning. You know, I had the raccoon problem last week.
Yeah.
Well, then I thought I saw a tail of something wrestling around in my garage on Friday. And I thought I scared it away. I yelled. I put the garage door up and down. I turned the lights on and off. And I thought it scurried away. I thought I was good. And then Saturday morning, I'm out putting together boxes and stuff so we can burn things. And I'm getting chairs out and everything. And I see fur in an Aldi bag. Mm. I have like the little Aldi bags that you take to get your... And there's one like sitting on the floor. And I see fur sticking out of the back of it. It is not the neighborhood black cat.
I would lose my mind.
Because I saw the neighborhood black cat like off in the distance. Eclair, again, useless.
Yeah.
I bring her out in the garage and I'm pointing
like what?
At it. She doesn't get it. She doesn't care.
Bags. I get it.
Yeah.
You have bags. You're so proud of your bags. I get it, lady.
So I stand there staring at it and I don't even know what to do. What does a person do? I have no idea. And I just kind of stood there looking at it for a minute, and then it moves.
Ugh.
The bag moves. So there is, again, the size of a small air conditioner, but it is a possum, clearly.
A possum,
it's not a raccoon.
The size of a small air conditioner.
In an Aldi bag. Like, think about the size of an Aldi bag, and it filled the Aldi bag. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so I tried throwing a couple of boxes at it. Like, I wanted to scare it away.
Yeah.
So I took a couple small boxes, and I hit it, and it didn't. That didn't do anything. That's what I would do, like with a spider or something.
You have homeowners insurance?
I do.
Burn your house down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burn your house down.
Will animal control come and get it? I had no idea. Thank you to my neighbors who did, even though they got home at like 2 o'clock in the morning, responded to my text, and they came over, and he came over with a shovel. He brought a shovel with him.
Okay.
And I was like, whoa, what's happening? And he said, oh, well, I thought it was a dead possum. I'm like, I don't think so. I think it's
alive. It's soon to be dead possum.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I'm like, well, are you going to hit it with, what's the process here? What are we doing?
Yeah.
And he just kind of nudged it with the shovel and turned the bag around. And it was definitely a very big, very unhappy possum that had been discovered.
What's its own fault? It's in the bag, moron.
And then he ran.
Dumb possum.
Takes off, and it's massive. And their garage door is open because they're back and they let the cat in their garage now. So then it aims for their garage. I'm like, good. Now it's your problem now.
Possums are cool, though.
So now my garage stays closed. My garage door
of
is
now. Of course.
Everything is out of there.
Possum aficionado weighing in.
They're the only North American marsupial.
Yep.
They can't catch rabies.
That's true.
That's good.
Their body temperature is lower than what the virus can survive at.
Really?
Yeah. So possums can't catch rabies.
So
they
eat
snakes.
Okay, there you go. They're useful in some respect.
They eat snakes and ticks and mice and stuff.
I've heard they're good for pest control, but then they're pests.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not that intent on moving.
No.
Like he was warm.
He played dead.
He was warm in the garage. Huh?
Was there like cat food in the bag?
The bag was empty. It's just what I used to kind of carry stuff.
What'd you do with the bag?
In the house. The moment it's still sitting there, but that's
God.
A good point.
Well,
that's a good point. My fear about it is that the way that you get to my basement is from the garage.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a set of stairs that goes down, and that door to the basement doesn't close all the way. And an animal with enough like intent could headbutt that door enough and get it open.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have an entirely different problem. Somebody told me animal control will come if it's in your house and that the garage counts.
Okay. Well,
so that's maybe what I'm doing next time.
Next time.
Next time.
Next
this
time.
Happens.
But
I
don't know I could wait that long.
What's next on the Jamie House bingo card?
I know, right? What is she going to have next?
We're getting into winter.
You haven't had a coyote yet.
I've had foxes in the backyard.
Yeah.
That's happened quite a bit. I've not had a coyote
at this point.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
We've had many snake stories at this point.
Many snakes. Yeah. And I hear stories from the neighbors about...
Why not a cute animal, like a groundhog or something? That'd be fine. Yeah.
As long as they don't... They dig holes, though, and stuff. I don't want to deal with any of that. The neighbors have lived there a very long time, and they said the owners before me had a problem with snakes, plural, many, that were living underneath the back patio, and that they had to deal with that.
Do you have any holes near your driveway?
No, okay. Not at the moment.
Because we had a groundhog living underneath our driveway for a while, and we had to deal with that. We eventually had to block the hole up.
Since Quentin threw down the marker on possum facts, I'm going to throw one out.
Oh.
For anybody who wants some possum facts. Do you know why they're called opossums here and not possums? Like, we actually, the technical name is opossum.
Oh, we don't say that, though. We just say possum.
Nobody says it.
But it's opossum.
It's opossum. It's because they are Irish. It's true. They are from Ireland. It's
really?
A little apostrophe that's missing. Wow. No, it's because they are different than the possums that you have in Australia. In Australia, they're just regular possums with no O in the front, where you have opossums that differentiate them. Because, by the way, they're entirely different looking things. Look at an Australian possum. It's actually adorable. It's like a long rabbit. It's cute as hell. And we in America get stuck with opossums, these drunk Irish jerk possums that break into our houses and have nails for teeth and little rat tails.
It really is the tail that makes them gross.
Beady red eyes.
It's the long, hairless, very crazy tail that curls a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what's...
I don't like it.
I don't want to take calls on this. I don't know what you all are calling about.
We're good.
I don't... It's out of my garage. Yeah. Now it's just my garage door can never be open again. Like, it just is never, otherwise something is going to crawl in there. So that was the first part. And then, I heard all the chaos at 75th and Warren all over the weekend, and it looks like a mess.
Yeah. We'll talk about this coming up. The really nice Waldo sign that was put up at 75th and Warren all didn't even last a month.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next on Midday.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I heard it. I heard about it. It was all over the Nextdoor app. It was all over Reddit all weekend. The intersection of 75th and Warnall, which is kind of the gateway to Waldo. And they have a new, they call it a mural. I guess it's a mural, but it's painted in a big circle there. Almost like if you were going to have a roundabout, it would fill the roundabout. Waldo, like, it's this pretty multicolored, hey, because the construction that had been ongoing for like 3 years finally was done. Finally, that whole stretch is done. And sure enough, on Friday night, I mean, a month after that painting went down, it was the sideshow like crazy. And so now all it is tire marks all around covering most of what was painted there.
It's why? Like, why do this? Why? It's bringing me back to the vandalism incident at the Folly Theater last week that we talked about. What do you possibly change by doing this? How are you in any way, shape, or form benefiting yourself? You've just made something uglier. You just took something that was nice.
Yes.
And made it ugly for no reason other than your, I don't know. I can't even say vanity, because it's not like people know, oh yeah, that it was Big Bill and his stupid, I don't know, even know what you would drive, his dumb Mustang that did this.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with
everybody
Mustang.
Knows who it was.
And it went on for about 30 minutes, and it's just, it's an easy intersection to do it in, I guess, because it's a, you know, it's a big intersection there. It was late enough. I can't believe they weren't worried about traffic at that intersection, because even at night, that's still, especially on Warnall, you still have quite a bit of traffic. There are complaints that police did not get their acting gear on it. The police did not respond quickly or quickly enough or at all.
Yeah.
30 minutes is a long time.
It is.
For that
is,
to be going.
I mean, I don't want to necessarily make it about this, but that is it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Where were the cops?
Yeah.
How was this not broken up? And it's Waldo, so it's not like an area of town where there's a lot of vacancy. There's right. plenty of people that live there. Oh, I'm sure people called the cops.
Yeah.
But nothing.
Let's see. Fox 4 says a spokesperson for KCPD said they don't believe any reports have been filed involving injuries to anyone, which does not answer
so what?
The question at all.
Okay, well, then don't pull anybody over for speeding because nobody's been injured yet.
Yeah, I don't see other. A lot of what I've seen has just been on social media, so I don't know as far as other police reports, but I can't believe it was so loud. I can't believe they didn't hear about it. I can't believe there's enough police that drive around. Shoot, I was out walking the dog at 7:30 this morning, and there was KCPD in my neighborhood just kind of driving through. I mean, it's a popular place for police to just kind of drive around.
Yeah.
So did they. And I assume people call police because people get tired of that. And so were they just busy elsewhere? And I assume what happens is they show up and then people scatter is usually what it happens. But you can catch somebody, you know, you can catch, you know, you get even at dark, you can write down vehicle numbers and stuff like that. And they can go catch somebody. It was a gorgeous intersection. It had only been there a month and it is absolutely destroyed. And I don't know if they're going to redo it or not. I wouldn't at this point just get rid of it.
Is there a way to tire mark proof something? I don't know. Can you like put, is there some kind
can
of,
can we put like oil on it or something? Just slide around.
Yeah.
Can we put wax on it? So they we just slip and slide.
Pre-oiling. Now that would cause a problem for anybody just trying to drive through the intersection, but you know what? We took care of the vandals.
Yeah.
Got them.
The little hockey puck things. Cause that's what they were talking about. The little pucks that stick up in the road. And so they have to slow down. I don't know. We talked about speed bumps. Can we, are there things that we can start doing at these intersections in the middle so that they can't
apparently,
because I think the speed limit on Warren is only 35. So you could put speed bumps in at that intersection.
Like you see it all the time on trains going by. There's graffiti. Mm-hmm. Who cares if you're marking up the side of a boxcar?
Right.
If that's how you're, or if even like some wall in, you know, on a building that's been abandoned or something like that. And sometimes graffiti, sometimes these people know what they're doing. It can be really good looking.
Oh, yeah. There's,
this is just petty vandalism for no good reason other than something nice existed and your life sucks. So you have to take it out on the nice things in the world.
Yeah. It's just for disruption.
Yeah.
It's just to interrupt and to get attention for the same reason that they do it in Power and Light, because it disrupts the most number of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And all it's going to do is cost money. Congratulations, you juvenile.
Well, it's also something I've never and will never understand is getting joy in other people's suffering.
Yeah.
Because the reason you do it in that specific spot is because you know people are proud of that. And people like it. And it's going to hurt them that you've done this now. You've done that there. And you're like, oh, you think it's so cool? How about this?
Yeah. It's like they're making fun of something that somebody's proud of.
Right.
Like, you think you're so cool with your new sign.
And I hate that mentality. Like, it can translate to so many other aspects of life. But for instance, I'm a competitive person, but I don't like rubbing it in. If I win, if I'm playing a video game with my friends, I go, you suck. That makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, I don't go to the 49ers subreddit and go, you guys weren't going to get it this time. What happened to the revenge game? That's just crazy.
And even if you're competitive, like, are they jealous? Do they live in a different part of town? And they're like, ooh, they're jealous of the Waldo sign in the middle of the intersection. It's also like the only one that we have. Like, there's no other place where it's like, welcome to Waldo or anything. Yeah. There's nothing else anywhere except for that one intersection. It just does not make sense to me. So I don't know. I guess now we're going to have this every weekend. Maybe it'll, because I didn't hear it Saturday night. Also, kids, Friday night, like, people were out. It was Halloween.
That's
there was
the other
more
thing
traffic
too.
Out. Kids were out and about. I mean,
the only negative thing from Halloween for me was at one point, for some reason, and I don't know what he was trying to prove, somebody had some big old stupid truck, like a diesel powered truck, just out driving up and down this street with a bunch of kids trick or treating. And like, he did it twice, though. He drove past us once, back up, back down, and then back up again. And I was like, oh, you're really cool, buddy. And by the way, I'm not saying that everybody that lives in my area is rich, but I've never seen that truck here. Usually there's not rust holes in the type of trucks that people drive around here. So it had to be somebody who was like, I'm going to drive to South Overland Park, find a subdivision where kids are trick-or-treating, and then drive my big, ugly, stupid, loud, poor-ass truck up and down the street just to annoy people. And that'll real show them. Oh, maybe Jonathan Weir will talk about it on the air on Monday like an idiot.
Like, show them what? What are you... I mean, it's just like the motorcycles that street race up and down, you know, whatever streets. It's like, what are you...
Attention.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. So did you not get enough attention when you were a kid? Like, what's,
The problem? They probably got enough attention when they're a kid. It's the problem is increasingly people can't tell the difference between good attention and bad attention.
Yes.
And they just associate anybody. I feel like a nothing in this world, so I'm going to prove that I exist by driving my big, stupid truck or ruining this intersection. And then when I drive past, I'd be like, see, there's proof I exist. Some people could just unfurl a birth certificate. That's not enough for me. I need to have a bunch of intersections that I've destroyed with my stupid car.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Talk some more coming up on Midday.
Real quick, just to mention what is going on in Kearney here for a moment, because the story's out all over the place. If you are a parent in Kearney, you probably know this is going on already. But police were called out this morning to the parking lot outside of Kearney Junior High School because of a disturbance. And as a result of the investigation there, two juveniles are in custody and a weapon was confiscated. That prompted Kearney High School and Junior High School and Southview Elementary School to be placed on a temporary lock and teach status while law enforcement responded. They got the weapon from a parked vehicle in the lot at the tennis courts, and the district returned to normal operation.
I'm so confused by this, though. So were they junior high school students or high school students?
We don't know.
Because I would assume they'd have to be high school students, because how would they have cars?
Right. Why
would they be in the parking lot? Why would there be a car for a gun to be in? I guess one pulled a gun on the other. I don't know.
That we don't know. Yeah. But they are investigating. The story's all over the place. Everything's fine, by the way. You know, they got the weapon. Yeah. We don't know of any injuries or anything like that. So it looks like everything's okay. Just what we need.
The district took the incident as a reminder for parents to have conversations with their children about reporting anything suspicious.
Okay, that's good. I mean, if somebody saw it and reported it, then...
See something, say something. See, so maybe they're playing with the gun in the car. Where was that? It was Blue Valley... It was near me, but it was... what is the name of that school? There was a school where they... a kid fired a gun inside of the car. A couple weeks ago. And then there was obviously the gun that was found in Summit High School, just in the play auditorium.
That was in that theater.
Because the guy fell out of his pants. He went to a play, lost his gun at the play, and then was like, I don't know. I went to like four different places today. I could have lost my gun at any of them.
Yeah.
It's good. It's so good, guys. It's just good out there.
They're saying it was the junior high parking lot.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the Kearney Police Department Facebook post now. That's where the incident was, in the junior high parking lot. I mean, I guess it's possible. Maybe they rode with somebody from the high school or something, or they just happened to be walking through that parking lot. It's absolutely not clear, and Kearney police aren't making it more clear. But no injuries. Everybody's okay.
Everybody's fine.
Do they share a parking lot?
Yeah, it's one big parking lot.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Google Maps right now. They literally all three of these buildings are right next to each other.
Right.
So yay.
All right. We need to talk about this. Speaking of suspicious, coming up, Lee's Summit Police Department is warning parents. I'm on board with this. Leading up to Halloween, I was like, look, drug dealers aren't trying to give your kid drugs. It doesn't make any sense that they would. The only thing that might happen is people confuse candy with drugs and accidentally give it to your kids. But usually those aren't in, like, a Skittles bag is different than something that would have, you know, weed in it. Having said that, there was a community safety alert issued because they found a bunch of, they aren't really sure what kind of drugs, but definitely drugs.
Yeah.
In some baggies at a park.
Great.
Finding small bags of suspicious candy at a local park. Why do you think they were there?
What were they really doing?
What were they really doing there? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it. Coming up on Midday.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.